The two Republican congressmen who represent Bloomington-Normal say reauthorizing the highway bill is now one of their top priorities.
That is something we have not delivered on. I continue to be optimistic that we can get a federal infrastructure bill done.
That's Congressman Darren LaHood. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Wednesday, August 21st. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with Congressman Rodney Davis saying the biggest issue he's hearing out of McLean County is infrastructure. WGLT's Mary Cullen has more.
Davis is the lead Republican on the Highways and Transit Subcommittee in Congress. The representative from Illinois' 13th District says he's pushing for federal passage of the highway bill.
When you look at a construction project, about 80% of that construction project on our interstates that may back you up in traffic for a while is paid for by your federal gas tax dollars. We in Washington are now going to reauthorize that highway bill.
Davis says he does not believe a federal gas tax increase to pay for infrastructure would be politically possible. He was not specific in proposing ways to pay for improvements, saying Congress should decide what the best ideas are. Davis was in Bloomington Tuesday with fellow Central Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood from the McLean County Chamber of Commerce's State of Congress event. LaHood also listed the highway bill as one of his main areas of focus as session picks up again next month.
That is something we have not delivered on. I continue to be optimistic that we can get a federal infrastructure bill done to, again, upgrade our rail system, our highways, our airports.
LaHood says trade is another issue vital to the region, specifically the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA.
I look at jobs in Central and West Central Illinois. Many of them are tied to trade, whether it's agriculture, whether it's financial services, whether it's manufacturing. 40% of the products we grow, produce, or manufacture in Illinois go to Canada or Mexico.
LaHood says putting politics aside, the trade bill is good for jobs and long-term economic viability. LaHood and Davis's congressional districts cover Bloomington Normal. For The Leadoff, I'm Mary Cullen.
And here are some of the other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. The two finalists for Bloomington Police Chief met the public last night. Don Doneth and Bill Colebrook both agreed to fill out a Black Lives Matter questionnaire. Doneth said he would not arrest undocumented immigrants based on their status. Colebrook said he'd bring in a community coalition concept from Champaign to Bloomington. McLean County government and the city of Bloomington are in talks to move more parts of city administration into the county's government center in downtown. And an investigation of sexual harassment in House Speaker Michael Madigan's office shows control has been too centralized and discourages complaints about mistreatment. Find those stories and more at WGLT.org. Just days into the semester, Illinois State University has already had three requests for emergency assistance from a fund dedicated to helping LGBTQ students. Dave Bentlin is with the Prairie Pride Coalition and helps administer the fund under the Dean of Students' Office. He told WGLT's Charlie Schlenker about the stories of economic and spiritual distress from those students at the hands of their own families.
In each of the cases, they came out to their families, and families reacted negatively, withdrew financial support, withdrew emotional support, and in some cases, in one case, there was some physical violence involved.
You would think that in this day and age, this would be rare. Not so?
I agree. I would think that after all of that we've accomplished as an LGBTQ community, the laws that have been passed, the greater freedoms that many of us feel, the greater rights that many of us enjoy, there is a thought that these are unusual situations to find happening today. I do think, though, that it continues. What's happening in one sense is that these students are feeling braver about coming out, and they're coming out at younger ages. I'm with the Prairie Pride Coalition, and just yesterday we were at Bloomington Junior High School for a table fair to welcome the sixth graders to the junior high, and some of them are coming out, and we wanted to be there to provide resources not only for them, but for their parents, so that we can get information to them, and we can address the issues that they're feeling and maybe prevent some of what's happening at the college level with these students who are experiencing bad things with their families.
And in those settings where you're trying to educate, are you still getting pushback from certain segments of parents?
From certain segments, yes.
Especially, what do
they say? Well, especially when we're getting into areas like junior high schools, and some of the younger populations. But what we try to explain to the parents is that these children are coming out at an earlier and earlier age. They're finding communities on social media. They're finding information on websites. They're seeing themselves portrayed on television, and they want to be open, and they want to be out, and they want to feel safe and welcome in their community. So they're coming out at earlier and earlier ages. And we try to impress upon the parents and the families that it's important that these issues get addressed when these students and children are coming out at an earlier age, so that they can feel comfortable, they can feel safe, they can feel included, and they can feel some sense of support from their families.
In one of the incoming or returning ISU students' cases, there was actually some physical abuse. What happened in that case?
Well, the nature of the fund that we use to support these students, we maintain complete confidentiality. So I'm not really, I don't feel comfortable going into very real specifics about it. But I can say that I think there was violence sustained that would result in a trip to a hospital. It was pretty severe, and it was unfortunate.
Hear and read more of this interview with Dave Bentland from the Prairie Pride Coalition and ISU at our website, wglt.org. Before we let you go, just a few more weeks of the Lounge About the Roundabout music series in Uptown Normal. Tonight's performers will be the Bygones, playing from 6 to 8 p.m. on The Circle. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at wglt.org.